You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history. Are you ready? Let's get ready to rumble!
There you have it. Michael Buffer again, getting ready to rumble. This is October 22nd, 2020. Tonight, the final presidential debate before the election, taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. The moderator, Kristen Walker. And, of course, they're talking about muting the mics when one candidate is speaking and not his time to speak, the other mic will be muted. But when they have a discussion, they'll have the mics open. President Trump's already complaining about that. And, of course, complaining about the moderator, Kristen Walker. Do you think he will be treated fairly tonight? In other words, will this be a fair fight on stage tonight, or will it again be Trump against the mainstream media and the moderator, Kristen Walker? She's being billed as the first black woman in nearly 30 years to moderate a debate. The last one, journalist Carol Simpson, moderating the face-off between George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Ross Perot in 1992. And I don't recall anything coming out then that she was unfair to either one of them. Did the job perfectly as a moderator. Now, Kristen Walker is also being pushed, as I said, as a first black woman. Fact is, and she admits it, she's biracial. Mom is black, dad is white. But that's all right. They want to do that. They want to talk about muting the mics. The bottom line is, will it be a fair debate? Do you think so? And, of course, Biden continues to hide in the basement, getting ready for tonight, not seeing anywhere. But Obama was out on the campaign trail for him at a rally. Maximum number of attendance at this rally, 1,200. 1,200. We'll tell you why, because they were there at a drive-in theater and in their cars, and he was standing in the middle of a theater parking lot. We'll get into that in more detail. And Trump, of course, out on the campaign trail. He's been everywhere. Nevada, Ohio, North Carolina last night. So today, the Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously approved the Supreme Court nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, despite a decision by Democrats to boycott the markup. This is, of course, when they take the vote to pass it on to the full Senate, Democrats said, we're not going to show up. We're going to boycott. Senator Graham said, that's her choice. It's my choice to vote the nominee out of committee, which they did. And they're still pushing to confirm her next week before the election. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation is going to join us later. You recall Nancy Pelosi raising the subject the other day that we might invoke the 25th Amendment to get rid of Trump. Because he was on his COVID meds, he might not be lucid. He might be a little wacko. Well, of course, he's been appearing numerous places since then. Has anyone seen a case where he's been maybe more over the line than he normally is? But this whole idea of trying to come up with the 25th Amendment, just another example of a coup effort. And how legitimate would that be? And could it also be used against Joe Biden if Biden and Harris win? Hans von Spakovsky would join us on that subject. There is another source, a Biden insider on the Hunter Biden emails, confirming that Joe Biden was aware and, in fact, involved in his son's actions in Ukraine, Burisma, and China. That is a blockbuster. But, of course, keep in mind, Twitter, Facebook continue to lock down various accounts as they try to spread the original New York Post story about the Hunter emails. But they're very quick to spread the stories about that maybe Trump has some money that he owes China because of business deals, or maybe some loans he took. They will quickly circulate that without any fact checking. Senator Cruz says, I want these guys in front of us, and we're going to get them one way or the other. And also, before we finish the next 2 hours, the continued defense, almost laughable, the defense of CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin for what he did the other day on a Zoom conference call, exposing himself, and not just exposing himself, but what he was doing. And many are still coming rushing forward, and one flat says, let's just forget it and move on. Right. That's what they want to do, forget it. Good luck with that. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We cannot afford four more years of this, Philadelphia. But the good news is, right now you can choose change. Right now you can vote for my friend Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris as the next president and vice president of the United States of America.
Yeah, did you hear a lot of yells and maybe some car horns? That was Obama last night in Philadelphia at a drive-in rally event, basically at a large movie theater complex where folks, something like that, where they could listen on the radio or some speakers set up, but they had to stay in their cars. And how many? It would not be that hard to count the number of cars, but the numbers have been, depending on the source, ranging from 200 up to just under 300. Where's simple journalistic reporting? You can get an actual count on the cars. They're parked. They're not moving. And no one is giving a firm number. So let's say it's 300. The maximum allowed inside each car was 4. You know, you got to have social distancing in the car. I don't know if they were wearing masks or not, but they had to do that as well. So let's say there were 300 cars, maximum 4 people. We're talking about 1,200. 1,200 parked in this parking lot, listening Barack Obama up on a stage and either listening through a radio channel they dedicated to it or to speakers. I don't really care how they did it. It's indicative of this craziness going on with this COVID stuff. We're going to get into that in more detail in a moment. And, of course, in the meantime, Trump is right out on campaign trail directly, like in North Carolina last night. Again, let me come back to that in a moment. But let me give you a couple of the lead-in lines, writing, as it's been written up, I should say, by the mainstream media. You get the impression right away they're slant on the story. I just told you, 1,200 maximum, He's standing on a stage addressing people in their cars. And maybe they'll roll down the window and yell, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll hit the horn occasionally. But here's the way it was written by CNBC, lead line. President Barack Obama delivered a rousing campaign speech. Rousing? Can't you very much do to rouse people when they're in their cars? I mean, come on. But that's all right. That's the way they want to do it. It's their slant. CNN on their write-up of it. Former President Barack Obama delivered an often incredulous and blistering account of his successor's first 4 years in office. Yeah, well, again, that's their slant. This is his first stump speech, his first for his former vice president, as he said, my friend. They're counting that Obama and the Obama factor will help. Trump has said, that's just fine. He came out for Hillary. They stood together, hugged each other, and it didn't do any good. And now, I don't know if we'll ever see Obama and Biden together on the same stage, masked or unmasked, hugging each other and saying, this is the way we're going. And they've got closing days. I mean, we are now less than 2 weeks from the election, obviously. Obama also made a point to say that it's not just the White House at stake, and I'm glad he did, because this is something you also should remember. Here's Obama from last night.
A president by himself can't solve every challenge in a global economy, but if we've got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House and a House and Senate that are focused on working people, it can make a difference and get millions of people the help they need.
Yeah, you keep that in mind, too. We want to hold on to the White House, we want to hold the Senate, and we do need to take the House. I don't know if that's possible, but I think it's something we should strive for. So one thing that Obama began to attack Trump on immediately was dealing with some new information that's kind of being thrown around that Trump has a previously unreported bank account in China. You wouldn't think this would be out there in the mainstream media, right? I don't think it's been fact-checked. I don't think anybody has verified it. I would imagine Twitter and Facebook would shut all that down. But I'm reading it right from a CNBC report here, saying that Trump, in a speech over recent records, I should say that Obama, in his speech, said that recent reports the president has a previously unreported bank account in China. That just surfaced, just came out of nowhere. Why? Because the questions about Joe Biden and his connections with his son, Hunter, and Ukraine, and Burisma, and Russia, and yes, China. And of course, remember what the mainstream social media, Twitter and Facebook, have done with those stories? Shut them down. We're going to spend more time on that in the next hour. And they continue to shut them down. But now they're not stopping any of this story about the so-called Chinese bank account from being spread by CNBC, CNN, or any of the others. Have at it. You know the double standard exists, but there's more evidence of it, obviously. We don't have to go very far at any point to find hypocrisy existing. One thing Obama did say last night, he said, I never thought Donald Trump would embrace my vision or continue my policies, but I did hope, for the sake of the country, he might show some interest in taking the job seriously. Well, he's made that statement before, and I guess he thought it plays well, so let's do it again. And, of course, he decided to jump in on the thing that everyone is, and that's the pandemic issue. And he also decided to bring up something else that has not been challenged or stopped by Twitter and Facebook. He went ahead and said that Donald Trump has called our men and women of our military suckers or losers. You remember that claim was published by The Atlantic on the basis of, quote, anonymous sources, that it had been made while Trump was overseas and he was in Europe. He was supposed to be visiting an American World War I military ceremony where Americans were dead, had been buried. Joe Biden has already referred to it previously as well, said that Trump claimed that the men and women who in our military are suckers or losers. John Bolton was with Trump on that trip, and John Bolton is no friend of Trump lately. And he wrote a book about all the things he could put in there about how he sees Trump and how he's failed and things he said. That was never stated. Never stated, and he has since publicly said, no, that didn't happen. I was there. He was the national security advisor for Trump. Now has become a Trump critic, but said, no, he never said anything like that. And the Pentagon has said there's no supporting evidence about such remarks of that or so-called Russian bounties. But Biden continues to report it. Other mainstream media continues to report it. And you don't see Twitter or Facebook shutting them down. You don't see them putting up even a statement that this needs to be fact-checked. Again, the hypocrisy just screams at you. If it has anything to do with Trump, we're going to let it run unchallenged. If it has anything to do with Biden and hurt him, we will challenge it and shut it down. As I said, we'll spend more time on that in the next hour. But this appearance last night from Obama and how it was done, I would imagine Andrea Mitchell was reporting on the event and how it took place, and I imagine she felt kind of stupid reporting it this way, and I would bet Obama felt stupid up there doing it, but that's the way they decided to do it, all because of COVID. Here's Andrea Mitchell's report on it.
The strategy is to use the surrogates, President Obama, and to be working on the debate prep and also to have socially distanced events, not big rallies, and that's what Barack Obama did here tonight. He had 278 cars, we're told, with four people max per car. So they don't have a head count, they have a car count. And here we are in the parking lot of the, you know, sports arena out in South Philly. And that is the way they're having the largest event that they have.
And they were all in their cars. And she said, what, 287? Is that what she said? Something like it. I'm going to give them 300. Let's say they had 300, a maximum of four people in each car. So I said 1,200 maximum at this sports arena. I said a movie theater arena, but it's a sports arena. And they set up speakers and had a special dedicated radio channel so they could listen in their car. I wonder what Obama thought when he was told, you're going to stand in the middle of this place, cars will be parked around you, and you're just going to be talking and try to rouse them up like you would from a speech with everyone surrounding you. It was pretty lame. And I'm sure he felt the same way, but hey, that's what I got to do. And you heard Andrea say, the strategy here is Biden continues to stay preparing for the debate prep for tonight, like he's got to have all of his time on that and send the surrogates out. And the best surrogate to go out would be Barack Obama, not Hunter Biden. No, we can't put his son out. No, that would not be a good idea. But we sent Barack out, and so that was his first appearance last night. And they did it in a parking lot with their supporters in a car. And Trump in North Carolina last night, in the midst of a rally, and he pointed out exactly what is happening politically, how they weaponized COVID, and they want to scare the daylights out of you. And obviously, Obama supporters, Biden supporters, they all must be shaking in their boots every time they even hear the word. So Trump repeated it several times.
That pandemic is rounding the corner. They hate it when I say it. You know, you turn on to this MSDNC and fake news CNN, all you hear is COVID, 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 COVID. That's all they put on because they want to scare the hell out of everyone. Normal life will fully resume, and next year will be the greatest economic year in the history of our country. That's where we're headed.
There's something else Obama did last night. He was trying to make a reference to Trump and this storyline that maybe Trump has a loan to China or a bank account that has not been previously reported. And he's trying to lay this out and say, we wouldn't take that. And as you listen to Obama talk, he's referring to Trump, but if you hear where he almost stumbles when he starts saying it could be an uncle. How many times has Joe Biden been referred to Well, you just have to accept it's old Uncle Joe. He's kind of doddering around. Listen how Obama gets into this, and I think you could almost see the wheels turning in his head like, I got to deviate from this. This is getting too close to the storyline against Biden. Just listen.
We're not going to have a president that goes out of his way to insult anybody who doesn't support him. We wouldn't tolerate it in our own family except for maybe crazy uncle somewhere, you know. Yeah, he's I mean, why would we expect and accept this from the president of the United States? And why are folks making excuses for that? Oh, well, that's just him. No.
I have to ask you, is he talking about Trump or old Uncle Joe? Why would we accept that from the president of the United States? Why would we make excuses? Say, it's just him. How many times has that been put in our face with Joe bumbling around? It's just Uncle Joe. He bumbles words. He says, that senator, that Mormon guy, and I'm running for Senate. No, I'm running for president. Who's bumbling around? Was Obama this close to saying Joe Biden? Well, what should we get out of this debate tonight? I'll tell you what some expect, and also how politics, not science, is closing schools and probably certainly to blame also for what's happening across the nation. Stand by, please.
USA.
There are new studies suggesting, and should be no surprise to you, that politics, not science, is driving local policies on school closures and reopenings. A nonpartisan education news website, The 74, says the two factors most closely correlated with school reopenings are the share of the local vote that went to Trump in 2016 and the degree to which teachers belong to unions. Again, in an article titled Politics Not Science, Driving School Reopenings, The 74 reports the latest evidence released this month as a working paper through Brown University's Annenberg Institute for School Reform indicates partisanship drove reopening plans far more than public health conditions and echoes the work of previous as the Brookings Institute Brown Center had found. In other words, teachers' unions are controlling opening your schools, and they don't want them open because teachers' unions are all in with the Democrats. And many teachers who are parts of those unions, like other unions, are realizing this is not the representation I want. We'll see if it hurts the unions in the long run. When we continue to have the left say, pay attention to science, and yet they ignore it, in a case like this where all these studies show it's politics, not science, they close the schools down and is delaying reopening. All right, so tonight is the last presidential debate. I'm looking at a column I want to share with you, the opinion piece by Lee Carter, president of a research group, language strategist, author of Persuasion, Convincing Others When Facts Don't Seem to Matter. And she says there are four words we need to hear that we must hear, and Joe Biden and Trump must make clear to us tonight. Four words. Four words with me. You got to say this. You will be safe. And she says no matter where you are on the political spectrum, you probably feel that emotion, and you need safety in so many different ways. She said Trump must convince us as individuals will be safe. We need to be protected from big, not just violence in the streets, but big bureaucratic government. Need to protect my money, protect my freedom of speech, protect my right to bear arms, protect my community and city. I want a police force that can do its job. protect my job, protect this economy, protect my vote, protect my dreams and my opportunity. She says both Biden and Trump had to address those and promise me in four words, you will be safe. And that, of course, includes COVID, our health care system, equality, and protect us from wrongs, protect our image around the world. This is just her comments, her commentary, but I think she's right about that. COVID, you're worried about COVID? Well, then you want to hear a reassurance tonight that it's all going to be okay moving forward. You're worried about the violence in the streets? Yeah, you want to know that's going to be taken care of. You protect your rights to Second Amendment, or First Amendment? Yes, you want to know that is safe. She said, otherwise, they're going to fail if they don't make it clear. She said, Americans everywhere currently are afraid, and they need to be told you will be safe. I think Trump has done that already, but we'll see how it plays out in the debate tonight. So Nancy Pelosi talking about using at one time the 25th Amendment to get rid of the president, and could this also be used if Biden and Harris get into office? Hans von Spakovsky joining us. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always glad to welcome back my guest, an expert in constitutional law, Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Welcome back, sir.
Larry, it's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, and I want to get into what Nancy Pelosi tried to pull the other day. But before I do that, today the Senate Judiciary Committee did unanimously approve Judge Amy Coney Barrett at its executive business meeting, and Democrats were trying another stall tactic, weren't they?
They were, and actually, it's kind of funny because they refused to appear at the committee, so there are no votes on her. She's one of the first Supreme Court justices to be unanimously reported out of the committee in a very long time, and that's the way it'll go in the record books because they decided to boycott the committee meeting on her.
So it goes down as 12-0, and will it show Democrats not present or absent, or just say 12-0, that's it? But we all know what happened.
Yeah, it's going to be 12-0. So, like I said, I don't think it was a very smart tactic or strategy because they're not on record as having voted against her in the committee.
All right, so what can they pull when it goes to the full Senate for debate and vote at that point?
Well, once again, I think they have said that they're going to try to deny the Senate a quorum. You have to have a quorum to do business. They can't do that if every Republican senator shows up. But if a handful of them are absent, then they could possibly do that. But I'm sure they will do that. Plus, they'll try to give speeches as long as possible to try to delay things, and we may see other parliamentary maneuvers, but so far, the Republican caucus has held together, so I just don't think they really have the ability to stop this.
So there's no doubt in your mind she will be on the Supreme Court before Election Day.
Yes, unless something unexpected happens, she will. And, you know, what's interesting about this, Larry, is that, you know, we saw none of the violence or antics, the constant interruptions from screaming members of the public that we saw during the Kavanaugh hearing, and it's because of COVID-19. You know, the public wasn't actually allowed into the hearing room, and because of that, we had a much smoother, much quieter Judiciary Committee hearing.
So there's our silver lining to COVID-19.
Yeah, isn't it? It's kind of amazing when you think about it.
Well, so it's the COVID-19, the fact that Trump had to be hospitalized briefly at Walter Reed and then went on some various drugs, right, and so forth, that Nancy Pelosi the other day said, I'm going to back legislation to use the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Now, exactly, help the public understand exactly what is the 25th Amendment and how would it be, how could it be applied? Let's begin there.
Sure. The 25th Amendment was ratified in 67, and it was because of the assassination of John F. Kennedy and the fact the Constitution is a little bit unclear on what happens when a president is removed from office. So what the 25th Amendment says is that if a president is unable to discharge the duties of his office, then the vice president takes over as acting president. And the president himself can do that. You know, this has happened before when presidents, for example, have undergone surgery and therefore are out. They've temporarily handed it over to the vice president. Or if the vice president and a majority of the president's cabinet secretaries agree that the president is unable to discharge the duties of his office, perhaps because, you know, let's say if he had a heart attack or a stroke, well, then the vice president becomes the acting president until the president recovers, if he recovers. Now, the 25th Amendment says it has to be the vice president and a majority of the cabinet secretaries or some other body designated by Congress.
So that would be the other body would be the House, obviously, in this case.
No. It's whatever other body Congress wants to establish through the law.
I see.
And that's what Pelosi is taking advantage of. She's sponsoring a bill that would replace the majority vote of the cabinet secretaries with a 17-member commission appointed by Congress whose only job it would be is to examine the physical and mental health of the president. They even in the bill say that this commission will subject the president to medical examinations if Congress directs them to do it. The problems with all of this, and the reason I think it's a political stunt, is that, look, she can set up this separate commission to do this, but even if that commission were to somehow say, oh, the president has to be removed, under the 25th Amendment, that's not effective unless the vice president agrees.
So unless you get Pence to sign off of it, it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. Plus, the Congress has no constitutional power to force a president to undergo a medical examination.
and I assume that the House or under Pelosi would be appointing members to this commission on presidential capacity, right? The leadership of Congress, which certainly would include
the leadership of Congress. So it does provide that it's both the majority and minority parties, but still, I think this is an unwise policy too, because look, who's going to know better whether the president is carrying out his duties than his cabinet secretaries who work with him all the time and see him at meetings and so forth? They're going to know more about him since they're seeing him every day than some commission made up of people who never see and never meet with the president.
Well, there was you point out in an article you wrote regarding this that how the 25th Amendment, I believe you quote a professor in your Heritage Guide as to what the intent was of the 25th Amendment, and more importantly, what it was not.
Yes. He points out that it wasn't intended to be used to, quote, cover political and policy differences or poor judgment, incompetence, or laziness. In other words, the 25th Amendment wasn't put in place so that a Congress who doesn't like a president, who doesn't like his policies, can somehow use that to remove him from office. Its only purpose is to take care of the extraordinary situations of something happening like, you know, what happened to President Wilson. Remember, he had a stroke that,
right.
that pretty much incapacitated him for the rest of his presidency.
Now, the other thing you point out, that Herb simply bringing this up, clearly a political stunt. And
yeah.
she got some fanfare and everything, and it was, again, for Trump supporters, just another attempt, a coup, to overturn the presidency by whatever means possible. That's all they're going to see, and I don't care how she tries to frame it, it still comes down to, as you said, a political stunt.
It is, although it's kind of funny that I've seen speculations, and of course it's just speculation. I've seen speculations that this might actually be aimed at Joe Biden
yep.
and Kamala Harris.
Yep.
If they were to win, that this might be a way of trying to remove Joe Biden so Kamala Harris could become president. And I don't think it was helped. There's a report out that Kamala Harris's husband said somewhere publicly that he was married to the woman who was going to be the next president of the United States.
Well, and I have discussed that whole scenario, too, that they may have this ready, because if Biden and Harris get in, that's the first thing Nancy would do. And Kamala Harris will certainly sign as a VP. She will sign to have Joe, because she didn't sign up to be VP anyway.
That may very well be true. But at this point, it's just speculation. But look, there's no way this bill, given the current makeup of Congress, it might pass the House, but there's no way it's going to pass the Senate. And the only way this law would pass is if in this next election, Democrats retain control of the House, take over control of the Senate, and are able to win the White House so that you won't have a president vetoing the bill.
Well, in our last minute or so, let's deal with the election itself. And since Judge Barrett
sure.
will be, you believe, and I certainly do too, that she'll be on the court before the election. The date of the election, of course, on that date, we probably will not know, unless it's a landslide one way or the other, we probably will, and even if it is, it'll be contested probably, who's president. So how critical is it to have a full court with 9 members as opposed to maybe a 4-4 split on any debate over what happened with the election and how it's carried out?
I think it's very important, and it's illustrated by a case that just occurred a couple of days ago in which it was a case out of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, which is controlled by Democrats, extended the deadline for the receipt of absentee ballots in Pennsylvania, despite the fact that they don't have the power or authority to do that. And there was an emergency appeal filed with the U.S. Supreme Court by the Pennsylvania legislature. And unfortunately, that appeal was denied in a 4-4 split. Chief Justice Roberts sided
yeah.
with the liberal justices on the court, and because it was a 4-4 split, the lower court, in this case Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision, stands. And that's the same kind of problem that could occur if we only have 8 justices on the court after the election and any kind of litigation or dispute reaches the Supreme Court about the election.
All right. Well, Hans, as always, we appreciate your time. And we've got some exciting days coming forward, and look forward to having you back up with us, sir.
Sure thing, anytime.
You bet. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. There's new information regarding the Hunter Biden computer, and there's a whistleblower, a Biden insider. Let me discuss that when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Fox News is reporting that Hunter Biden's laptop, the one that had all these emails on it that the New York Post first reported on last week, and of course mainstream social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, shutting down everything regarding, and mainstream media looking away, look away, look away, don't look. We don't want to see it. We don't want to report it. If we don't say anything about it, it didn't exist. Well, Fox News now saying that that laptop was also seized by the FBI last year as part of an investigation into money laundering. The computer supposedly dropped off by Hunter at a computer repair shop in Delaware in April 2019 after having some water damage. No one returned to pick it up. So they then own it by the contract you have to sign. If you're going to leave it, you don't pick it up, they take control of it. Because you're not going to come pay for it and pick it up, then they own it. And then they began to release some of the email material to New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former New York City mayor, who's a Trump lawyer, of course. And then the FBI has had the laptop since December. And not just supposed foreign election interference with Ukraine and Hunter Biden and Burisma and money and contacts Joe Biden as VP might have had, but maybe money laundering scheme. That might be the thing that really becomes a key point to use against Hunter Biden. In the meantime, a whistleblower identifying himself as a Biden insider, Tony Bublansky, releasing a public statement that backs up that report from the New York Post last week, and he claims that he personally witnessed Democrat presidential nominee, former VP Joe Biden, discussing business deals with his son Hunter. That's what he's saying. He signed a statement to it, saying the facts set forth are true and accurate. Any suggestion the contrary is false and offensive. The email, which he did submit to the New York Post, which was published by them, also references the term big guy, the big guy that was in the emails involving Hunter as to how much money would be held for the big guy, how much money would go to this guy and that guy. Bublansky says the big guy is Joe Biden. Now, that's his statement. Twitter, Facebook, the New York Post, been censoring the content from the beginning. Very little to do with it, just kind of looking away. They just won't put it up. And apparently, Bublansky is the same person whose allegations and inside information are the centerpiece of an investigation by the Wall Street Journal. Now, they have not published their story yet, their investigative report, not sure why, but President Trump has been hinting lately that there's still a story coming from the Wall Street Journal with more details than what you have seen so far from the New York Post, or at least adding to it and maybe adding some additional confirmation. And apparently Bublansky is one of the ones that's being stated. I know every time I say Bublansky, you flash back to a Seinfeld episode, right? The guy that owned the restaurant. But this is a real guy, Tony Bublansky, CEO of Cinehawk Holdings, which was a partnership between the Chinese operating firm and the Biden family. He said, I was brought into the company to be the CEO by James Gillier and Hunter Biden. And he says the reference to big guy in the much-publicized email of May 13, 2017 is, in fact, a reference to Joe Biden. The other JB reference in that email is Jim Biden, Joe's brother. Well, that's going to be pretty big, isn't it? And the Wall Street Journal put out an editorial today. While they have not released their investigative reporting, they have an editorial from the editorial board titled The Bidens and China Business. And on the underline, it says a story will not go away without explanation, even if the former vice president wins. Here's how some of the editorial reads. Most of the media is ignoring the emails found in Hunter Biden's laptop, but that doesn't mean they aren't news. Joe Biden has an obligation to answer questions about his son's influence peddling and his own financial dealings, notably regarding China. And then goes ahead and talks about how the New York Post obtained contents of a laptop purported to belong to Hunter. And then as the editorial continues, talking about how all the emails regarding Hunter's business in Ukraine have been widely reported, but it's being hidden and covered up by some of the mainstream social media outlets, but insist Joe Biden is going to have to explain. He's got to answer at some point. That should be a topic in tonight's debate. It's not on the schedule. Now, whether or not it's going to be asked by the moderator or Trump's going to have to bring it up himself, that should be an issue tonight. Now, expect Biden to quickly turn around and say, well, there are reports that you had a bank account in China you haven't reported. And that's surfacing now, only so they can offer tit for tat. That's all it is. There's no verification of that, but the mainstream media is running with that story. Why? You know why? Because it's against Trump and might harm him. We're going to take a break when we come back in the next hour. More on what big tech has been doing to cover this story up, and they will be held accountable. And also the continued explanation explaining why Jeffrey Toobin accidentally exposed himself. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.